Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 293, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, June 29th, 2023.
You know what that means. It's National Handshake Day. Jack, put her there.
All right.
Yep.
Right. All right, brother.
Also, National Almond Butter Crunch Day, International Day of the Tropics, Waffle Iron Day, National Camera Day, and for all you popsicle lovers out there, National Bomb Pop Day, the wonderful red, white, and blue treat that was developed during the Cold War to remind us that the bomb's just a lick away.
Is that right? That's when it was developed. It was like a CIA thing. Like
did
that
a little
Scorpion
research.
Song?
I think it was just basically, I think Cold War, just like, it was just like, you know, just some more nationalism to tap into. Kansas City, Missouri, 1955.
That's the red, white, and blue, like, rocket pop one?
Yeah, it's like blue, white, and red, like kind of.
Yeah. I was called it the rocket pop.
I always
and
knew
I
it as
did
a bomb
always
pop.
Associate it with militarism.
As you should.
Your handshake, Miles? How do people greet your? Do they say, firm handshake there?
God damn, what the fuck was that, dude?
What do you have to prove?
Yeah, I'm like, a lot. my handshake, pretty good. There was a time
hey,
I
nice
remember.
Nice to meet you. You think you're better than me?
What's up, man?
My face says nice to meet you. My hand says, do
please,
you think you're better than me?
I'm wearing a brace on my hand from an injury. Then you shouldn't have extended it for one of my handshakes.
Then you shouldn't have come at the king. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Christmas hams. Forearms fit for carving. Donald Trump cannot help but compare. Christmas hams. Biceps big as oil drums shelter him and he hasn't a care. Big strong arms to carry Donald home.
Please.
Big strong arms to carry Donald home and so forth. That is courtesy of Axe Hubs on the Discord. His obsession with big strong arms continues to be a weird thing about Donald Trump. Did you catch the video of him seemingly having an orgasm at a lectern?
Oh yeah,
like, where he's like doing the weak, like, but it just goes on for entirely too long.
Right,
you can't have a firm handshake with hamshake. Wow,
wow,
hamshake. Now we're
Christmas
coming up with ideas.
Hamshake. What I meant to say was handshake. With, you know, you can't do it without big, strong arms.
Big, strong arms to carry Donald home.
It's where it comes from. People don't realize. It's not the vice. It's the shoulders where that strength comes from.
But that was part of a long riff. Well, he was in Oakland
Michigan.
No, Oakland
to
County.
To be honored as man of the decade and was delivering a speech this past weekend where he was making fun of women.
I think it was trans athletes.
It was like a trans.
I think it was actually a transphobic thing that he, but everyone was like, I think he's coming.
But yeah, it was about arm strength, and he went on for 15 seconds sounding like he was coming all over the place.
I'm coming. Whoa. So, another thing, think of pumping iron, too. That was something Arnold Schwarzenegger would say. It feels like I'm coming.
Yes. Feels like I'm coming in the gym. It feels like I'm coming at home. Cool, Arnold. Cool, all right, Arnold. Man. Also, Hamshake might be the Hamburglar's answer to the Grimace Shake. We might be facing that in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. all the AE kids with their hot dog dicks. Better run, outrun their buns. All the AE kids with their hot dog dicks. Better run, faster than their glizzies. So for context, Lockeroni hit us up in the Discord. American Eagle put up like a picture of like this hot, like 4th of July underwear with like the American flag on it, but where the crotches is like a big cock sleeve, but it's printed as a hot dog on the outside. Mm-hmm. Had no idea about this. No idea about this. I would not have.
And it's our job to know about this stuff. But thank you, La Caroni, for sharing that with us. Yeah, it's haunting. American Eagle, one of the brands that got taken over by private equity at one point.
There it is.
And kind of driven into the ground. But they, you know, a true American comeback story, I guess we can call it. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very talented writer, stand-up comedian, podcast host of the Bechdel Cast, which just one of the great podcasts out there. Also happens to have a master's degree in film, the most anagrammable name in the English language.
Yes.
It is Caitlin Durante!
Caitlin!
Hello, Nine to Dracula.
Nine to Dracula in the building.
Here for duty. What's the... How do you say? Reporting for duty.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Oh, did someone call Lauren D. Titanic? It's me.
I've been thinking so much about
you. Did you want, what's my other one? Latin dancer UTI? Here I am.
Here you are.
Lauren D. Titanic is so appropriate, too. Yeah. Oh,
I've been thinking about you since all the, you know, submarine stuff, you know, and going down to the Titanic. And I'm glad you were with us within a week of that quasi-tragedy or whatever we're calling it.
Right. Had you been given a scholarship to be on the submersible to go down to the Titanic, like, does that sort of thing interest you to like see the Titanic in person? You are notably one of the biggest fans of the film Titanic.
That's true, yes.
One of the noted builders of the Titanic Lego set, bathtub sized Titanic Lego set.
You're right, all true. However,
but do you want to get down there and like look at the moss covered remnants?
Not even a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe if it was on dry land, but I'm terrified. And I was terrified of submarines before it was cool to be terrified of
them.
Why? What
happened?
What's
your problem?
Yeah.
I would never go under water deeper than like 10 feet in
like
any
pool
capacity.
Depth. Right.
Yeah.
Pool depth, even when you get to the bottom of the deep end, it really hurts.
It's
starts cracking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And getting back up to the surface, you're not sure if you're going to make it sometimes.
Yeah.
So, oh, no. How are you swimming? Put a lot of
very
ankle
recklessly.
On. Yeah, right.
No, but yeah, I'm very afraid of deep water. So
are
I
you
never
the,
do that.
Okay. So are you a, I'm guessing there's like levels to it, right? Some people are a fan of the entirety of Titanic, right? The idea, like they romanticize it. And some to the point where like the tragedy too has drawn me in that they want to see it. Are you a fan of the film, the boat itself? Does that have any intrigue? Or it's all really just the film? You're like, I don't give a shit about the real life.
It's honestly mostly the film. But because I like the movie so much, it's like other things, boat lore and, you know, Titanic lore. Have like I enjoy them just sort of as a byproduct of liking the movie. The same way that I like bears because Paddington is a bear.
Right.
But
right.
I mostly just like
but you're not
the Paddington movies.
Yeah, you're not going to Alaska to fuck around with like some grizzlies or anything.
No. Okay. No, thank you. Just I will not sure. put myself in danger in any way just because I like a movie, a relevant movie.
But you do hold inside you like the two urges, the two interests that seem to kill people. Some like the because the yeah. thing that the Titanic wreck reminded me of was Grizzly Man. It was like, oh, we all like you talk to experts ahead of his last expedition where he went and like played with the grizzlies and they were like,
that
man is going to get killed like the next time he does this, probably. Right. And sure
and look
enough.
What happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
there's an article I saw recently about how there's more interest from like wealthy people to do extreme travel.
Good. Great.
And, like one of the people who like founded like a company that would do stuff in partnership with OceanGate was saying like a lot of customers like were interested in quote bragging rights, which makes yeah. so it's like Trump's mindset too with these documents, just merely to say that you fucking went and did that.
Yeah.
I also because rich people don't have like real problems.
No. They yeah. have to make
they have to like invent yeah. stress in their life, right. I think.
They're like, I have no existential threats, so I'm going to get in a janky submarine.
Yeah. yeah. It's alive. Like that movie The Game, if we yeah. remember that. Anyway.
I think we do. I think we do, Caitlin.
Thank you.
It's truly, it does seem like there is something about becoming extremely wealthy and just going through a day-to-day life where you are completely avoid, like, you don't encounter consequences even once that mm-hmm.
yeah.
these people do some wild shit.
I wonder, they're in the thing. They're like, isn't this cool? We could die in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm on it. What about you? Yeah. Yeah. Same.
same.
What
same.
About
teenagers
you?
Teenagers over in the corner like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Christ. I'm just trying to set a Guinness record for doing a Rubik's Cube at the deepest depth. Wasn't that the yeah. thing the kid was trying to do?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Yeah. That 19-year-old.
Kid bums me out.
Yeah, had a Rubik's Cube with him and I think was going after some kind of Guinness record for like deepest Rubik's Cube.
Well, didn't the record just get broken a few days ago? And it was like 3.13 seconds. Someone solved a
oh,
Rubik's
someone oh. solved the Rubik's Cube?
Oh,
yeah.
That's too fast. I think he was going for the record for deepest like depth to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Well, that's what I'm doing when I swim into the deep end in the
yeah.
pool.
Yeah.
I'm down there for so long because I'm trying to solve a Rubik's Cube.
No air tank.
Yeah. Deepest, darkest. My head is like a shark fin.
Deepest, bluest. Yeah.
Deepest, bluest. Yeah. That's right.
Remember when those soundtracks had those titular tracks from like the talent on that the soundtrack where it's like, I'm not going to make a song about sharks ever, but I'm LL Cool J and I'm in this shark movie. And guess what?
Guess what's happening?
Get a fee to get on this soundtrack.
We're going to cut to credits and you're going to hear me rap the plot of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in like a shark's
rap
tale?
The plot of the movie.
Or
no,
whatever?
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea. Deepest, bluest.
Yeah.
My hat?
Okay, now like it's making tail. Sense. I was like, there's only one shark movie, right? And it's The Shark's Tale.
But that was Will Smith, and he is most... You know, probably the most notable example of somebody who does movie plot rap songs.
He oh, yeah. really does do that. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. Caitlin, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things that we're talking about. Trump's counterattack on a couple stories are coming into focus, kind of. He had an interview with ABC where he was like, I was just kidding on that tape. That tape is what you hear on that tape is my incredible sense of humor, essentially.
Right. Those aren't napkins rustling. Those aren't documents, even though I said they were.
Yeah. He's also countersuing E. Jean Carroll, who a jury found that he sexually abused her, and he is suing her for saying that he raped her. So again, just, you know. Deny loudly and aggressively, and
yeah, but with no logic to this,
no
at
logic
all.
Whatsoever.
There's like you've already been. It's confirmed what you've been what's happened here, but he's yeah. just going off because she's suing him again because when he denied it at the CNN town hall, like the very next day that decision came in for the first case.
Suits on countersuits on suits and just tie everything up in the courts. We're going to talk about food waste. There is a new technology that might help with food waste.
Jeez.
We'll talk about Tom Hanks's niece from the Rita side.
Yeah, so, the Wilson side, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? You heard about this, Caitlin? Claim to fame?
No.
Oh, buckle up.
I was not aware of the show Claim to Fame before this clip. So this
same.
She did them a real solid, this reaction. She was the first. So it's a reality show where people come on, they have famous relatives, and the other famous relatives have to guess who they're related to.
Oh.
And she is the first eliminated and
took it like a champ.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Took it like a champ.
So we'll listen to the reaction. It's a lot of fun. All of that, plenty more. But first, Caitlin, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so I looked up Shrek makeup, naturally. because...
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
like
I did.
What that tone is? Like, what is Shrek
well,
makeup?
Well, I'll tell you.
Please.
So someone had sent me a YouTube video. Ever heard of it?
No.
About...
Oh, wait, hold on. What? No.
Mm-hmm. Big fan.
YouTube rocks. So the YouTube video...
Hey guys, have you seen these YouTube videos?
YouTube rocks. Their new marketing campaign.
Got YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got tube.
So the YouTube video it's entitled Rating Shrek Movies Costumes on Historical Accuracy. So it's from, it's incredible, right? It's from user Carolina Zabrowska, who I don't know, this is the only video of hers I've watched, but I'm guessing she's like an expert in clothes and history and the clothes that people wore throughout history. So she has watched all of the Shrek movies and rated the costumes based on historical accuracy. I was watching this and I was like, wow, this is great. And it reminded me of something someone else sent me, which was a link to Shrek makeup. So I had to Google that and be like, oh yeah, remember Shrek makeup? So it's from this company called Revolution. And they have a whole line of Shrek makeup, and by what I mean by that is eyeshadows that come in a case that looks like Shrek's head.
It looks like a Polly Pocket or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Yeah.
I think some of the makeup is you can get like green lipstick. I want to say. There's
fun.
Oh yeah, they got the green lipstick.
Swamp clay mask.
What?
gingerbread
highlighter. Yeah,
gingy highlighter.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, makeup headband with the Shrek ears.
With
so
the
when
Shrek
you pull
ears,
the hair back, you can
that's
still.
That's fun.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. This is for who?
For Shrek fans who wear makeup.
Yeah. Right, but okay.
The top says,
yeah, I'm sorry, what's your question?
Can we go up to the top of this page? It has Shrek collabo with Revolution, and then it says, get out of my swamp next to Shrek. Is that like one of his catchphrases?
Yeah. He does not like it when people
get in his swamp.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says, get out.
I think of like fun tween makeup stylings as not being the part of Shrek's personality that I want to emphasize.
Well, clearly maybe, you haven't really...
I don't get the angst that drives one to Shrek.
You really need to get better acquainted with Shrek, because if you were, you would know that this makes perfect sense.
Mm.
That people that you just want to be Shrek. You want that swamp aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. I might try this.
What is something, Caitlin, you think is overrated?
I think that... And this might be controversial, but I think that nachos are overrated, especially the kind you get as like at a restaurant when they like load on a bunch of, you know, ground beef and cheese and sour cream and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the flavors are good, but the execution is bad because they all get the chips get soggy almost immediately.
Mm.
It is very hard to get a good like distribution of all the toppings onto one chip.
Yeah.
Because you got one that's like nothing but beef, which is going to be my new catchphrase.
Nothing but beef. Podcast, nothing but beef. Yeah.
Get out of my swamp. And if you come in my swamp, there's nothing but beef here for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then other ones, it's like, you know, only sour cream. It's just, I think, again, poorly executed.
How would you optimize? Because my biggest, gripe with bad nachos at a restaurant is it's all top heavy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then so you have it all on top. And then underneath is just a bunch of dried chips. And then you got to kind of use those to like scrape at the top. I like when people layer them. I'm not as mm-hmm. upset about the crunchiness, because for me, I just want to have just shit on every chip, basically, is how I look at it. But how would you optimize if we're going to get around this?
I think we just need to do, and this will become a surface area problem, because you're mm-hmm. going to need a big ass tray.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
just like one single layer of chips. And then the toppings evenly distribute. So you're talking like a tray. It's going to need to be like
14 feet long.
Yeah, 3 by 3 feet kind of thing.
Smaller. Yeah.
The best strategy I've ever witnessed, my friend Blake in high school, shout out Blake, went through and would put cheese on each chip and then a dollop of salsa, like on top of the cheese. And that would keep it from getting, and then you put it in the microwave. It is very time intensive, but it is truly... the best way to do nachos is think of each chip as its own moment, its own nacho that you are, as opposed to just dumping chips out and then like kind of haphazardly scattering toppings across.
They're not just numbers on a spreadsheet, man.
Yeah.
They're individual chips.
Yeah.
I get it.
Each chip is a moment. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Restaurant nachos are a real mess that I still love. I just vehemently
disagree. Do you order them, though? I feel like I have to... There always needs to be one person who's really into nachos to order nachos.
Should we do the nachos, guys?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That kind of person. I'm like, well, you know, I was gonna be like, because they look really good. And I'm like, fine, yeah, fuck it, get the nachos. Like, it's
they always look good.
But yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, but you go after nachos pretty consistently, Caitlin?
No, I avoid them for the reason that I think they're overrated.
Oh, so if someone said, hey, should we get them? You're like, let me actually tell you why. Everyone open up your phone.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I promised myself I wouldn't do this today, but.
Yeah. So I'm like, let's get whatever. I don't know. The sampler platter. Clearly, I'm only going to Applebee's like restaurants. I'm like, let's get the mozzarella sticks. But no nachos for me.
Yeah.
What a shame.
I love to get some nachos. I like to. I have ordered nachos as a main course before.
Wow. Brave.
Just eat them by myself.
Pardon me.
Fending people off with my arms. Yeah. What's something that you think is underrated, Caitlin?
I hope this ages well, because anytime I'm like, wow, this man who I like, I'll say that. And then like a year or some amount of time later, he turns out to be a awful person.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case for this person. But I think Wesley Snipes is underrated. I think he rocks. And I wish he had a career that was like still as illustrious as it was, you know, a few decades ago.
Yeah. So like it really peaked in the like mid to late 90s there for him.
Mm. Yeah.
But so clearly, you know, you don't consider being a tax cheat being a terrible person.
Because why we stopped liking him on this show.
Yeah. We're like, hold on, income tax evasion? No, not our king.
If I thought I could get away, and I'm also going to regret saying this, but if I could get away with tax evasion, because with the way the government's spending my money on too much military, etc., I don't want to pay those taxes either if they're going to be, you know, allocated to horrible shit. So I don't think that tax evasion is that bad of a crime. There I say.
Yeah. I mean, that's my inner Fed talking. Sorry. kind of been on a different one since earlier this week. I didn't know that. Did you know that his apartment was destroyed in the 9/11 attack?
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah. Just reading it.
It wasn't
right
even
now.
In Manhattan. He was so upset.
He says his apartment in New York was destroyed by the collapse of the World Trade Center's Twin Towers. He was on the West Coast
at the time.
Yeah. Damn. Okay, Wesley. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like, what's your favorite Wesley Snipes film?
Oh my gosh. Well, I love Demolition Man.
Thank you.
And he's also so great in Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah.
Obviously Nakajima Blade.
Jackson. And wasn't that his character's name?
In which one?
In Tu Wong Fu, wasn't it like Nakajima Jackson?
Oh yeah. I'm pretty sure that's it. Yeah, and then I've only seen the first Blade movie. I have to watch the others, but he's great as a, you know, half vampire / vampire hunter.
Daywalker.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the scientific term.
Daywalker. Promised myself I wouldn't say this, but Daywalker.
He has a line in Blade. Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. That he, according to the writer of that film, Wesley Snipes just happened to be saying that. He overheard him using it in conversation and was like, well, your characters probably say that, right? That's really cool. So like, that's just correct, actually. Yeah.
It's true.
He is Wesley Snipes, both on and off camera.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about how Trump was just kidding on that tape. JK.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And so beginning of the week, CNN leaked the tape where Trump was like, look at these Pentagon documents. They gave them to me. Isn't it bad that I'm showing them to you? Because I could have declassified them when I was president, but now I can't.
And that's illegal.
And the person he was talking to was like, yeah, that's, what did they say? They were like, yeah, like, it could be trouble. Or
they're like, yeah, well, now it's a problem.
Now it's a problem.
Isn't that interesting? Like,
yeah, huh? Can we get some cokes in here?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
That's nothing but beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
I would say. Thank you, Bazinga.
So now, in an ABC interview that happened on his plane, he said he was holding up newspaper articles and magazine clippings while claiming they were classified documents to the person. Like, so he was just doing, and then he's like, I'm a messy man. Look, I have documents all over the place. Look at my desk right here on the plane. And like, was like, so I was just grabbing right things and being like, oh, look at this. It's classified.
He said at one point, he goes, did I use the word plans? What I'm referring to is magazines, newspapers, plans of buildings. I had plans of buildings, you know, building plans. I had plans of a golf course.
Yeah. Lots of plans. There are things that are called plans that can refer to anything.
So you're so incoherent, you'll talk to somebody and say, Mark Milley wanted me to attack Iran, and here are the plans on how to do that. Look at that. You see? And they go, ooh. But you're saying those are just golf course schematics, maybe? These are just other plans.
I think it was a little bravura, to be honest with you. I don't think bravura. Braggadocia. So it's
bravado.
Like that. Bravado. Yeah, yes. Yeah. In addition to not passing any sort of logic test, like from a legal perspective, even if he was holding up newspaper articles, like he is still making it clear that he recognized that he had classified documents and sharing them would be a problem. And then, which I think previously his explanation was that he just like didn't know it was bad. And then also it just like, who made this tape? Wasn't it the people who were there made the tape? Like, doesn't that indicate that they are cooperating witnesses already and can be like, no, he wasn't showing us a Time magazine with him on the cover?
Like, because then it's like a non-issue. You're like, I don't know, this dude's lost it. He said these were plans to attack Iran, and he was holding a flip book. That's where he was at. I think it's just, I mean, you know, CNN released them, but I think Trump leaked them. I think he's the one that leaked them when you really think about it, because this is like, he did the same thing with the Ukraine call. When all that was coming out, they're like, what was going on in that call? He goes, before he was like, get the transcripts out. Look at the transcripts. And then he released them and everyone's like, this is fucking bad for you, bro.
Yeah.
And I think he has this pattern of like, say, like wanting to just get the shit out there. So then he thinks he's getting ahead of it, but really it's just so incriminating that it just looks terrible on his part. And it just, I don't know, it follows that same logic path for him of being like, they say it's bad, get the tapes out. And from like things I've been reading, that like that evidence had been floating around his like legal team since like March.
Right.
So I don't know, rather than being able to, because right now all he's doing is like, this Jack Smith did this because he's bad and mean. But
yeah,
this falls into the same pattern of, here, this thing that doesn't exonerate me exonerates me.
Is it like when serial killers like want to be caught?
Right.
Like, please do me in. Please just take
like
me
when
away.
They call the, you know, newspaper and they're like, I've left a bunch of clues. I'm the Zodiac killer.
They're like, oh, did you not know about metadata, BTK guy?
Yeah. You know how to block your number when you call a police station?
Yeah. I like BTK killer got caught because he was like sending clues that were just had the metadata of like what computer that were coming from, like attached to them. And people were at first like, he was doing that on purpose because he wanted to get caught. And then the deeper people looked, they were like, no, he was just dumb. Like he just didn't know. He thought he was smarter than he was, which always seems to be the case with the extremely wealthy and with Trump in particular. But yeah, I do like the idea of him leaking them. It's similar to like the guy who the submarine guy who's like telling all these lies about how safe the submarine was, but then like he got on the submarine, so like he both told lies and then convinced himself with his lies that it was safe enough to go down there. So
yeah,
like yeah, I can the only people that Trump is talking to on a day-to-day basis are yes men, like just sycophants surrounding him. So it's totally plausible that he leaked it and was like, this will show them.
Well, it's the same way too. Like if on that tape he's like, look at this, he's like, I win my case. And people are like, yeah, because they were trying to insurrect you even before you were insurrected. They're like, what are you just saying back to him right now? Like, it's just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, so articles are speculating this could signal his new legal strategy where he's claiming that he was showing different documents than he was. But it really feels like he's just telling lies that get him to the end of whatever conversation he's in at the moment.
Yeah.
Like that's as far in advance. He's just keeping the plates spinning, basically.
That's what's kind of interesting, because I know, Jack, you've been talking a lot. I don't know if it was on mic or off mic, just about his intent with keeping the documents and what that right. is and how confounding it is to people. It's like, what is it? And then even now you're like, it may just be that this dude is just such a fucking braggart that he's like, I got to have these things too. And it's there. A few people started writing articles about like, how is the prosecution? Like, what are they going to say his intent is or whatever? And it's like, it might just be as easy as this guy doesn't think the fucking rules apply to him. And he likes to bandy about these like sensitive documents to like, wow, people.
He thought it was a cool thing to have in his office. You know, we're in his bathroom.
That's his new legal defense.
Yeah.
Your Honor, he thought it would be a cool thing to have to show to people. That's it.
Like, truly. And like that is kind of the most defensible interpretation, but it also does feel like it might be that stupid. It's just he thought this was cool.
Yeah.
And was trying to impress women with it.
Which just shows like how he's in this phase right now of he's trusting his worst instincts and just doubling down on them. Right now.
Yeah.
Like, you'd imagine with all these trials going on or all this like legal jeopardy he's in, just to be like, just shut the fuck up or whatever, but he can't. And I think it's only making him a little like, you're just like with release and potentially leaking this tape and how he's handling that, it just seems like he's all out of sorts. And even like with this E. Jean Carroll thing, like he's just going back to like, oh, you sue me, I'm gonna sue you. And you're like, but for what, dude? This doesn't even make sense. Like, you're just giving your lawyers money for nothing right now.
Yeah. Her saying the word rape sullied his otherwise sterling reputation after a jury had just found that he sexually abused her.
Right. And they're splitting hairs of like legal semantics, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is all, again, like I said at the top, this happened right after E. Jean Carroll won the $5 million in the first defamation case. He did that town hall and just opened himself up for another lawsuit. And he's like, she's lying. She's a whack job. I don't even know her. It's not true. And they're like, sir, you just got in trouble for saying this.
Yeah.
And she's like, and now she's coming for $10 million, which, may probably win that one, too. But yeah, this is just all, I think it just shows that I think he's like in this place now where he has to just get one over or attack other people. And no one's even telling him, just maybe not this one. But I guess his lawyer's like, fine, we'll go to court and look even stupider than we already have to.
Yeah. Let's talk food waste. There's always horrifying stats about just the amount of food that actually goes uneaten, like the food that's produced. Like 40% of food is wasted in the United States.
Yeah. On Earth. So roughly 1.3 billion metric tons of food produced in the world goes uneaten. Yeah. 40% of that is right here. It's approximately 130 billion meals, if you added up like what that means, but just from United States waste alone. And then on top of it, transporting the uneaten food in the United States, this puts about the same amount of carbon dioxide emissions into the atmosphere as 42 coal-fired power plants.
Oh.
So just like putting it in the trash and having them take the trash
and moving it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a fucking like never ending cycle. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm definitely guilty of like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had like a bag, like a third of a bag of broccoli florets just fucking like dying in the back of my refrigerator. And I'm like,
congealing into like broccoli jelly.
Like, oh, yeah. And like the bag is looking back at me. It was like, we were rooting for you. I was like, I know. I'm so fucked this up again.
I'm so sorry.
I know I wasn't supposed to do this. But yeah. So apparently now there's a student at SMU like invented a way to monitor in real time if food has begun to spoil. And it's just about like monitoring pH levels. So if a food has a higher pH level than normal, like a normal range, that would indicate spoiled food, because then like fungi, bacteria can like proliferate in those kinds of environments. So those sudden changes can help tip people off about to be like, oh, there might be some food spoilage. And this student basically like created a strip that you could put into like food packaging. Like, it's really small. It's not like some gigantic electronic thing. like just using, you know, very simple electronics to measure like all of the concentration of like hydrogen, like in a given container or something like that. And you can picture a system where like these things are scanned, they send a measurement back to a computer, and you can begin to understand like, oh, this is about to spoil. This is fine. This has this much shelf life. And potentially, I'd imagine like for at home too, because there's times when in my mind, I feel like I'll throw away things, not all the time, but when I see like the expiration date, my first instinct is it's over. But then the immigrant mother who's yelled at me all my life was like, smell it first.
Oh, yeah, that's
you got thing. To. And then I get up in it and then I'm like, okay, if it's got that sulfuric smell, then maybe it's gone. But yeah,
I've eaten so much expired, quote unquote, expired
food.
And I've also eaten food that definitely was expired and rotting.
And bad
that I was
you.
Like, I can't throw this away.
Oh, so you're on the other side? Like you will go down with the ship?
I mean,
for, as
I'm
a
Titanic
reference?
Fan. Yeah, I have to. Bring it no, I mean, it depends on dairy. No, I won't. But like I've eaten okay. like definitely past its prime. Avocados, bananas, like produce, I'm more likely to fuck with if it is actively rotting. Also, I think that most of the food waste that does get thrown out is actually uneaten nachos because they're too soggy and no one wants. So, you know?
Yeah,
that's right.
It all comes
and
back to
nacho
that.
Nacho waste. Just send them my way.
Nacho waste is in its own category.
Yeah. Actually,
yeah.
They actually don't count it because 3.5 it would be too bad
billion
for the nacho
metric
industry.
Tons. Yeah, yeah. People don't want you to know. It's the dark side of food waste.
Yeah. This but definitely makes sense. It's always felt like when you take a step back, like the idea that we just have this like estimate on the food packaging, and then the only other option is like, I don't know, maybe taste it. See if like it makes you a little bit sick,
right?
And if it doesn't, then you can probably have a little bit more,
or just to optimize too, to know like at a certain point of like moving produce to be like, actually it needs to go to market now, and if it can't go to like a store, then send it to some kind of food pantry that can make use of the food,
right?
Like, but just to get ahead of it rather than like, oh, the shipment arrived and it's all fucked,
yeah,
gotta throw it away now, send the trucks in to drive, you know, 42 coal-fired power plants worth of emissions across the country.
Well, there's that, what's the thing? There might be a few of them, but there's like a food delivery
imperfect
service.
Foods.
Imperfect. Yeah, yeah, because like a lot of grocery stores won't sell food that they deem like ugly, or if it's like misshapen, or if a carrot like looks like a penis. You've seen those.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They won't sell them in the grocery store, and then most of that food gets thrown away.
Yeah.
So, there's all these things that we could be doing to eliminate food waste. And on the other end of it, I think that someone really needs to invent Mr. Fusion from Back to the Future 2.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
To use the food waste.
To the food. Yeah. The food that is like does need to be thrown away. We can recycle it and turn it into fuel.
Is it because
all of our
memories of the Mr. Fusion on the back of that DeLorean is putting a banana peel in the Mr. Fusion?
Yeah.
It's a banana peel, like maybe like a crumpled up napkin, and then a can of, I want to say like Miller High Life or something.
Something right.
Yeah.
The thing, like, it's also super, like, you know, I know in France, they passed the law like in the last couple of years that's basically saying like, a supermarket, like large grocery stores, it is illegal for you to throw food out. Like that's unsold.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
You have to donate it. Whereas like we see constant things like on TikTok, you see like workers being like, look how much shit we just threw away at Starbucks. Like, look at all this, or grocery stores and things like that. And then we lock it up because we don't want people to access it because of this, that, and the other. But I mean, there's so many ways to like optimize this, but you know, I think one good step is for people just to have an idea of like when food is spoiling. Granted, this solution is for like a larger, like industrial level.
Right.
So two quick pitches.
Mm-hmm.
One, the instead of being a subtle little strip, it's a countdown clock that makes a dramatic sound with every second that goes by, like the 24.
Like 24?
Like 24, it's like ding, ding. And when you get within the last hour, it's like a really stressful countdown clock.
Right. Oh, it's in Lost when they have to put the numbers in the computer.
Yeah.
Like, and they wait too long. It's like, hey, motherfucker. It's like your fridge starts shaking.
The food starts shaking a little bit. probably not cost effective, but if they could figure it out. Yeah. And then the other, I thought you were going to say this with, I guess you pitched Mr. Fusion, probably a better idea, but I thought you were going to say someone needs to invent a company that only sends out dick-shaped carrots. Because I did try and get venture capital funding for that.
Stop trying to launch this business, Jack, on the show. We've had to edit this out every time you mention it. And we're only, I feel like we can't edit around it this time, but we're not.
Who else is tired of using the carrot peeler to just peel it down so it looks exactly like a dick every time? What if the carrots already came in that shape, you know? Mm. And
I would be the head of it, the philosopher king, Rene Dick Carrots. Like Descartes, it's a Cartesian thing. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, was good.
Dick Carrot. Yeah. Anyway, but no, Mr. Food probably a better idea.
But are you? How are you with the food waste, Jack?
I feel like when I waste food, it's because of a personal fit, like a disconnect between my purchasing decisions and the act of like my actual ability to have the energy to prepare the food when it comes time to. Yeah, this made me like Google. There's a Mayo Clinic article, 7 ways to reduce food waste. And like they talk about just taking an inventory before you go to the store, or just like generally
simple shit that I would never
the simplest that thing that I would do. Never. What? Every time I've overbought, it was because I didn't like do a so much thorough butter? Enough inventory.
Yeah, I overbuy butter
so much half full butter things.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know, butter and produce. I feel like I always I have learned now. Like, we used to buy these, like, tubs of mixed greens. It was like, well, we're going to eat some fucking salad everything. Every meal we eat is just going to be a nice, fresh, prepared salad as the base this week.
Yeah.
And I gave up on that, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
I think one of the things on that list should be, like, have realistic expectations about, like, what you're actually going to eat or have the energy to prepare. Because I'll buy a bunch of, like, 6 bananas in a bundle, and I'm like, let's be real, Caitlin, you're not going to eat a banana every day for 6 days in a row. You're just not that healthy.
But know yourself, because our family has never had a banana spoil on us. Like I think mainly because kids love bananas, and like they're just a thing. They are like the original snack food that has its own wrapping. You can just throw it in a backpack and, you know, break it out.
I didn't realize your children were minions.
Yeah, they are. My youngest is kind of a minion.
Wait, do they eat bananas or something?
What's that?
Minions love bananas.
Miles? Oh, shit. Bananas? Right,
never mind.
Did you just ask?
Never mind.
Oh, my God, sir.
Why did I fucking open my mouth?
Just wait. You're going to look back in 3-4 years and be amazed at your ignorance.
When I was PM, pre-minion life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. But I think the one thing that like I've gotten better at doing is knowing when shit's gotten bad and then figuring out a way to fucking throw it all together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the other day, I made a bunch of like I overbought taco meat, like, you know, I went to the carniceria, like I got like prepared carne asada and things like that. I thought a lot of people were going to be eating. Half the people were like already ate, so I had all this like meat left over and like vegetables and things I was going to grill. I just turned that shit into a big taco soup.
Yeah.
Soup, and I was like, and I dodged a waste bullet. Yeah,
soup and smoothies are the key to like when something's spoiling, when the alarm starts going off, it's like ding 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 ding, right. And like the container starts shaking in your refrigerator. It's time to get the blender out, or it's time to get the, you know, slow cooker out, mm-hmm. and just dump that in there. The Mayo Clinic, we'll link off to the Mayo Clinic article in the footnotes. Because it also is like, here's a just basic soup recipe, like just have these things on hand and you can always just dump like whatever your leftover things are into 100%. A pot with this stuff. Greens, throwing greens in a smoothie, like throwing the mixed salad in with like some bananas and berries and, you know, almond milk, that works pretty well. It's a good way to just choke down some
old lettuce.
Some old lettuce.
Oh, this arugula smoothie's hitting.
When you were like, oh yeah, soups and smoothies, I thought you were going to say that you should make a taco smoothie.
Yes.
And then that reminded me of ham shake.
Ham shake.
Oh, so just a callback. Yeah.
Just an excuse to call back to ham shake.
The ham shake. I mean, give us your recipes, folks. Let us know. Specifically, please, if you have a recipe for a ham shake that you think is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we are going to introduce you to our favorite new niece of Tom Hanks. We'll be right back.
Nepo niece? What do you call that?
Nepo niece.
I only speak Neponese.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And claim to fame, you know, sometimes you just got to hand it to the networks when they come up with a premise and it is like, you guys know what you're good at. This is that. You have done a nice job with this one. This is a reality show I just became aware of where it's a bunch of people who are related to famous people. And they, but that is like who they are related to is a secret. And then they're like, they have to like game it out and try and guess who the other one is. And once somebody stands up in front of God and everyone in the panel, the non-famous Jonas Brothers who host the show and stand up and they say, I think your famous relative is, if they guess it right,
oh, please,
your ass is gone.
What if you miss though? Are you gone?
You best not miss. You come for the king?
Are there rules?
You come
like
for the king's cousin's nephew? You best not miss.
Best not miss. If you come for the king's wife's sister's niece on that side, then yeah. But yeah, this show, again, this prepare yourself, because as the writer's strike goes on, you're only going to start getting this unscripted, like, drama of just spectacle bullshit. But this was quite the spectacle. How do we set this up?
So it's the first episode of season two, or, you know, one of the early episodes of season two. Nobody's been voted off yet. And
wait, season two?
Season two, baby.
Yeah. I thought this was season one.
No.
Oh, we're way behind. Okay.
And the first, like, for the first time in this season, maybe it's the first episode, I have to assume for pacing purposes, this is the first episode.
Yeah.
Somebody says, "I think I got it, folks," and stands up across from a young woman and says, "I think your famous relation is Tom Hanks."
Tom Hanks.
And they then turn to the screen and it is revealed she is the niece of Tom Hanks.
And therefore eliminated from the show.
And then we get a great moment of
just a measured response, I think.
A measured response from her.
Boy. Damn.
But she's walking away.
It's so freaking obvious. Freaking bench. It's a freaking poster of freaking Forrest Gump. Are you kidding me?
Right now she's upset because one of the clues was about, like, one clue was that the, like, there was a movie poster that featured a bench, and she's like, "Why would you do that? Fucking benches." That's what she's screaming about, benches right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's screaming. Why a bench? Why a bench? There's literally no reference to benches on any other movie. Even Gabriel found that out. He's not even, like, smart.
For real? Whoa. That's cold.
They show Gabriel. It's like, what?
I didn't even get to do any challenges. I did not have that level of drama for the first guess off on my claim to fame bingo card. I don't deserve this.
Yes.
I should have more camera time. I should be here longer. And we're only on guess off number one.
I think the right choice was made.
No one expected that. No one.
No one expected that.
No one.
No one. Oh.
So she wanted more screen time so that she could be not just the niece of Tom Hanks. Is she trying to be the next Tom Hanks?
I feel like every relative goes on this show being like, one day Tom Hanks is probably going to go on this show. And people are going to be like, I don't know who that loser's related to. And then it'll be revealed it's me. And everyone will be like, whoa!
You're Tom. You're that lady's
more
uncle.
Screen time.
That is such a, like, as someone who is watching people raise kids, like, I'm seeing how that this form of behavior has probably been happening forever. Like, to like be like, I should have got this. And you're like, no, you came on a show. Okay. This isn't, we're not talking about human rights here. You came on a game show where you were using what little leverage you had to make yourself appealing to a television network to get on a show. And guess what? The context of it was people were going to try and guess who you're related to. And you had your moment there.
I don't deserve this. I should have had more. I should have more camera time is just a 2-sentence summation of a whole, like, 40% of the population, I feel like.
Mm. Yeah. Not a great look. But hey, we love to see this. And again, this is probably, like, I'm sure after, like, this clip is going, like, viral on the internet, they're like, yes, okay. If we just get a bunch of people to embarrass themselves in their real lives in a reality show, maybe we don't need writers. And this is our new entertainment. Weird Schadenfreude.
So I had a meltdown.
The irony now is that this is her claim to fame.
Yeah.
This meltdown.
Yeah. You are going to get more camera time. Because this clip will be played over and over and over again.
Yeah. And you'll be known as the scary person who had a complete breakdown because you didn't get to compete in any challenges on a show that most of us didn't even know existed.
Yeah. That I think that's the irony, is that had you not done this, honestly, we wouldn't even known you were on the show. So in a way, you did help yourself.
So maybe she's actually a genius and this was all a very calculated thing to do.
What could her next move be?
I have to say, I do
fair
think
point.
It's an easy clue, And I have to think that the producers of the show were like, all right, we got to
get her out of here.
Burn the dead weight. She's kind of not fun to watch on camera. But this is the best use of someone who's not fun to watch on camera.
I'd argue she is fun to watch.
I guess she is. Yeah, that's they fucked up, actually.
Yeah.
So this is the producers of this show fucking up. Her response after the episode, she posted on Instagram, "So I had a meltdown. Say what you want. I'm not spoiled or entitled or crazy. I can just be a little expressive and vocal, shall we say. Deflecting from the moment you step in the house is not easy when everyone already suspects who you are." It's so funny. Like, the premise of the show is so funny because this is the first time she's ever been around a group of strangers, and probably a lot of these people have ever been around a group of strangers where they haven't found an ability, like found a way. Her life skill is finding a way within 3 seconds to seamlessly drop that she is the niece of Tom Hanks.
Right.
Right, right, right.
By marriage to her mom, who is Rita Wilson's sister.
Yeah, I didn't realize Rita Wilson's name was not Rita. Well, I'm just like looking and I'm just like trying to look and learn more about this family. Her name is Margarita Ibrahimov.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And she's like a Greek. She's Greek. And I think her father is like Albanian. But anyway, it's just like. And then also, this is what's funny is to think that this woman and Chet Hanks are cousins.
Yes.
Which tracks.
What's that fucking. What are these part? What are these events like? Because I've seen two. People now. Colin Hanks seems the most put together of all the Hanks
previous marriage.
Yeah, obviously. Yes, let's not mix that up. But yeah, now to see the Wilson cohort come in. Okay, we got
Wilson
Chet
cohort
Hanks.
Is strong. That bloodline is strong. I think that specific.
Those genetics are the ones that are popping off, I think.
Yeah. I would watch a show with this niece, whatever her name is, still don't even know, and Chet Hanks just like hanging out. And being scary.
Okay.
So angry at each other.
More of her response. "My uncle is awesome and he has known and experienced my tantrums since I was a kid. He would actually imitate me have a meltdown as a kid." That's like, you can't really. That's
Can you
kind
have some self-awareness here?
That's kind of like mean-spirited for Tom Hanks to be imitating a child having a meltdown.
Yeah.
So it suggests that it was like really like noticeable and like someone was like, someone's got to do something. Like, how do we? "I know it's not a good look, but I really wanted to play along with the rest of the cast. Hope I made you laugh at least until I make you ... laugh again."
Oh,
closing
all right.
With the hashtag justice for Carly. Cool.
No.
Wow.
No, no. Are you
justice.
Serious?
Yeah.
Fuck you. No, you don't fucking know justice, motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here with Christ. That shit. Justice for Carly shit. she really thinks the world is against her. That's what's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. But then there is something to like thinking of like your tantrums were so bad, adults were like coming out of their character to mock you. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if Tom Hanks was like, you know, actually, I feel a little bad that I went all in. I'm like, well, I want a piece of cake. And made her cry even harder. Yeah. You know, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. But he's like, she just does this every time, Rita. She does it every time. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what your sister tells her.
He's using his powers of acting to, like, try and put up a mirror in front of a child.
Oh, no. Right. This is like, what you look like right now.
Like, I just want to, like, give it back to you. See if, like, maybe seeing it on Grow Man, like, that it kind of comes together. For you, that this is unacceptable behavior.
Yeah.
But because he doesn't recognize that, like, her whole life is that she is Tom Hanks's niece. Therefore, like, that interaction becomes formative.
Yeah.
And therefore, she's like, yeah, that's my thing, actually. People think it's hilarious when I just, like, go off.
Are you and your uncle close? Yeah, I mean, like, he mocks me all the time, crying. Like, we're so close. Huh?
Wow. I'm speechless.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's really not much else to say, but I wish you luck, Carly. Not justice, but luck.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Mm-mm. And I feel like some startup company will find some weird niche way to put her in an ad campaign. I think that's going to be the highest heights she's going to hit with this. Mm. Right, like a tissue company.
I feel like we've already forgotten about, like, We just did this story. I just watched the clip for the fourth time today. I couldn't pick her out of a crowd, to be honest with you, but
maybe they
will. I hope not. Reeve said that her ever affable uncle was aware of her plans to appear on the show ahead of time and even approved of it, explaining that he was just like, best of luck. That's awesome. I don't know if that's like a full-throated endorsement of the plan.
No, it's
best
probably
of
been like,
luck is usually a pretty...
That's a nice way of saying, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah. Best of luck is the most polite way of saying, fuck you. Yeah. Oh, for real? Well, best of luck. Yeah, fuck you. Go ahead. And I think that's what's interesting. Like, you know that he probably didn't necessarily need to approve, like, legally. She was probably just being like, I don't want to embarrass you, but I have to do this because of my unending, you know, desire for attention or celebrity status.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't feel, go ahead, man. If you just want, if you want people to fucking see who you really are, yeah, good. Best of luck. This isn't going to end how you think. He probably was even like, yeah, all right.
Off she's going to get signed by like some influencer marketer agent, and she's going to reach out to her uncle and be like, hey, my people actually wanted to reach out to see if there's like something we could do together, Uncle Tom. I feel
and
like
he's like, no thanks.
Best of luck. Caitlin, as always, such a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
It is my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. You can follow me on the various hell websites / social media platforms such as Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok.
Even TikTok.
Yeah, I did try to, I was trying to have a presence there for a while. And by that, I mean about 5 days. And then I gave up, but I'll go back to it sometime. Anyway, across all platforms, you can follow me at Caitlin Durante. And that's that.
Is there a work of media? Sorry, I'm eating a plantain.
What are you eating right now?
Plantain.
It's gonna go to waste.
I know. I gotta eat it. I'm the story.
You always eat at the end of the show.
I know, man, because I'm hungry.
It's like your calories are just
burning
caloric
energy.
Yeah, caloric intake. Gotta up it.
Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, this is a movie that came out a few months ago, but if you have a chance to see it, I imagine it'll be on a streaming platform soon. But the movie How to Blow Up a Pipeline.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, and I think people should check it out.
Yeah. It's awesome. Is it still in theaters?
If it's in theaters near you,
check it out. If it's streaming, check it out. It's really good. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, there is actually. At Miles of Gray on those websites with the at little symbols. Also, if you like basketball, check Jack and I out on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And also, if you like trash reality shows, ones that are actually a little bit better than Claim to Fame, like 90 Day Fiancé, come check out 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra and I. Let's see. Works of media, it's really... Once we started talking about the Grimace Shake in those TikTok videos, so many of y'all have been tagging Jack and I in more TikTok videos of people having the Grimace Shake. And I'm just all of that, the whole wave. Like now there's write-ups now about being like the new TikTok trend is this Grimace Shake thing.
Yeah.
It's just, I love seeing that like us as older people were like, there's something weird about this. And it's good to see that Gen Z and the younger people were like, this is where we're taking it. Because one of the latest ones I saw was just like, it looked like paranormal activity.
Yeah,
shit.
They did a great job with that one.
So all the Grimace Shake content, that's what I'm laughing at right now.
And send me your ham shake content.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. That's what's next. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet. I've been in, first of all, have you ever seen this movie Nashville? You ever heard about that? I had not.
No.
I had heard of it, but I hadn't actually watched it. And it's very good. Robert Altman's Nashville. So check that out. Norm Charlatan tweeted $16 worth of insight here and just a screen cap of a Twitter interaction between two blue check marks and then a non-blue check mark. Dale Partridge said, prediction. If they ever remake The Sandlot, there will be a girl on the team. She will play the hero figure and she will hit the home run to win the game. And then another blue check mark comes in, Vicar of Christ, comes in and says, not only that, but all the guys will be total losers and she will have to single-handedly win the game for them all. And then Ben K came in and was like, unclear if you're accidentally or ironically describing the plot of Bad News Bears, a movie that's nearly 50 years old.
So true. Oh,
woke shit is out of control.
Oh, man. Who's that, anyways. Tatum O'Neill?
Yeah, it was Tatum O'Neill. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what's the song that you think people might enjoy?
Oh, I've been playing this on and off behind the scenes, and I just love Nia Archives. We did a Georgia Smith remix of a Nia Archives track, I think, at the end of the last week, and there's dropped a new track on us called Off With Ya Heads, WIVYAHEADZ, and it's basically a remix of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs track Heads Will Roll, where you hear Karen O saying Off With Ya Heads, but it's just a straight up jungle remix, and it goes hard. Yeah. It's like a hard rave version, but it's just, I don't know, great energy. So check it out. Off With Ya Heads, Nia Archives. Check it out.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.